there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. It's Friday, April the 9th. And on today's show, we're going to be discussing how to not panic even when everything is going wrong in your life. In other words, you got a storm, you're in the storm, everything looks bleak. How do you not panic? And really, we're going to look to Jesus to do that. And we use an example from the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 21 at the tail end of John's Gospel. Yet another appearance of Jesus, the risen Jesus, to his followers. And I think for all of us, we can fall into that trap or that mindset of everything's going wrong. Nothing is ever going to get better. Or even worse, it's hopeless. You ever feel that way? And you might be feeling that way now. But I really am here to encourage you today. I want to let you know that if you jump to conclusions by looking at the evidence and saying this, whatever this is not going to work out, you are premature. And I want to give you an example from the pages of the Bible, because the apostles went through a very similar situation. Not that the details are the same, but they went through a period where things looked really bleak. And, you know, we've witnessed this all week as we've looked at the Gospels from Daily Mass. We see person after person giving up after the crucifixion of Christ, losing all hope, becoming completely discouraged, falling into despair. And yet the risen Jesus, he was alive, and he appeared to them to kind of snap them out of it. And I think we all need that from time to time, don't we? I know I sure do. I know the facts, but it's really easy. It's kind of amazing sometimes with what we focus on and how much it gets in our head. You know, our head's going to consist of whatever our mind and our thoughts are basically going to be influenced and consist of whatever we take in. So if we are focusing on total negativity, and if we are not reaching out to Jesus and asking him to help us, if we're not looking at his life, if we're not connecting with him in any way, then yeah, we're going to get hopeless. But the good news is he is available for us. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to give us the peace that we're looking for. You know, that's a perfect deal. He's looking to give us peace, and we're looking for peace. So why not take advantage of that? And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. I hope you're having a good day. Hope you had a good week as we prepare to turn the page on another week. Now, we are still in the octave of Easter, so happy Easter. Remember, the Easter season lasts for 50 days, and we're still in the octave of Easter. Now, so this is the intense period between Easter Sunday and the second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday. So this is a souped up version of Easter. And then for several more weeks, we're going to still be in the Easter season, still focusing, concentrating on the resurrection of Jesus. Why? Because it's a big deal. This is the basis for our Christian faith. And, you know, I was talking to my wife today. We were taking a walk. Eileen and I were taking a walk, and I'm passionate about the work that I do, and I'm so grateful that the Lord has blessed some of my books and let them be successful, such as Give Up Worry for Lent, sold more this year than it ever has in the past. You know, I'm so grateful for that, and I believe that my role in life is to bring hope to the hopeless, and I do that by sharing the message of Christ. Because that's what Jesus wants. He wants you to be filled with hope. It doesn't mean I don't tell the truth. I do tell the truth. I tell it to you. You know, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, I tell it like it is. I don't dwell on the harsher or more negative. I mean, I was going to say the more negative aspects of the faith, but none of it's negative. You know, it's all the good news. Even the fact that it's possible for some people to go to hell, that really is good news. What's the good news? The good news is you can do something about it, right? So you know, I don't want to call any of the elements of the Catholic faith negative, because I don't believe any of it is negative. But I believe that if we emphasize the positive, the good news, as Jesus did, you're going to be a lot more peaceful. You're going to get the truth and you're going to make it to heaven. But I see negativity. I see ways of spinning the good news and making it seem bad, making it seem harsh. You know, we all know the deal. And from time to time, when I have to say what I have to say and the Holy Spirit moves me, I'm going to say it. But in the meantime, I want to get you and Jesus together and let him work on you. You know, I can share all I want, but until you have that interaction with him, the same goes for me. I could speak all I want. I can write all I want. But unless on a daily basis I connect with Jesus, I'm not going to find peace, and I'm not really going to be able to follow him. I need to be with him every day. And that's what I try to do on the show. But I really want you to have hope, because no matter what you're facing right now, Jesus is bigger than it. And if he, pardon me, if he doesn't take away the problem, and sometimes he doesn't right away. I mean, all problems are temporary, but they don't always go away quickly. And to be honest, they don't always go away in this life. But at some point, your problem will come to an end. But you got to remember this. If Jesus does not take away the problem, he could if he wants to. But if he doesn't, there's a good reason for it. And he's going to make it possible. And this is the important thing for you to remember. He's going to make it possible for you to experience peace in the midst of that problem. Because otherwise, he would not let you have the problem. He could stop the problems from coming your way. You know, I've mentioned this before. He doesn't always cause them, but he allows them to happen. Anything that happens in your life, the Lord has checked off on. He's approved it. He said, yes, let this happen. And therefore, if there wasn't a way for you not to worry, if there wasn't a way for you to be at peace, because Jesus did say, do not worry. And he did say, let not your heart be troubled. And he did say, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. So if there was not a way for you to avoid worry and experience peace in the midst of your problem, then he wouldn't let you have the problem. Every problem that he gives us, every difficulty, every challenge, every bit of suffering is done, is allowed for a greater good, right? When with the idea, with the promise that you can experience peace in the midst of it. So you can experience the Lord's peace no matter what you're going through. It just becomes tricky. You need to do some things. And that's why I do what I do on this show. And I talk a lot about this because I know you're looking for peace. And Jesus wants you to be peaceful. He doesn't want you to be worried. But you need to do a little work. And the work really involves avoiding the negative or discouraging thoughts or sources of information. Avoiding them. I mean, you're going to have to expose yourself to some negativity. You need to know what's going on in the world, but you can limit it. You need to get more focus on Jesus than on your problems in order to experience peace. Once you do that, once you get that balance, you're going to be in good shape. All right, I said more than I wanted to say, but it's all good news. And wait till you hear the story today. It's going to be really, really good. You're going to enjoy it. It's Jesus revealing himself to his followers, when they had just about given up hope. So stick around for that. I think you're going to enjoy it. Pull up a chair, get ready, and let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus today, because we're going to really be focusing on his risen appearance, apparition of the risen Christ to his followers. And I think we all need that today. So let's chat with him, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you know, on this Friday within the octave of Easter, as we still continue to celebrate your resurrection, Lord, please help our focus to remain on you and the fact that you rose from the dead. You know, Lord, it's very easy for us to lose sight of your power. It's very easy for us to underestimate what you can do and how much you love us. So we're going to turn to you today. We know you're with us. We know you're watching us right now. We know that you are all powerful. We know that you love us with an unconditional love. And Lord, we understand that if we are dealing with a sickness today, we understand that you can heal us completely. Whether it's a physical ailment, it's a mental ailment, it's a spiritual ailment, we know that you can heal us. So, with that in mind, Lord, I am going to ask that you heal us of any of these afflictions, spiritual, mental, physical, that we are encountering right now. Heal us completely, but we are going to trust that you will heal us in the best way and at the right time. Therefore, sometimes the physical healing doesn't take place or it's delayed. And as much as we don't like that, we understand that sometimes you are doing that in order to bring about a greater good. So, Lord, we're going to trust you on this. We're going to trust you, but at the same time, ask for the healing. Jesus, we lift up our family, our friends. We lift up our country. We lift up the world. We ask you to have mercy as we head into this Divine Mercy Weekend. Mercy on those who don't believe in you, who have turned their back on you, who are living as if you don't exist. We ask you to be merciful on them. Lord Jesus, I ask that you awaken your spirit in me. Give me the words for this program. Allow me to deliver the message. And even if I have a preconceived plan, I ask you through your spirit to redirect me if necessary, because I want to deliver the message that you want me to deliver. So please, Lord, I'm going to be waiting. And if you take me in a different direction, I am willing to go there. Jesus, I also ask you to open up all of our hearts and minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us. And as I always do, Lord Jesus, I ask this in your powerful and mighty name through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? That's dangerous praying by yours truly. Lord, please redirect me if you see fit. That could derail the whole show. But look, I trust him. I wouldn't do this show. I'm looking around. If you could see my notes, I don't have any notes. I have my Bible in front of me. That's about it. Zero notes, and that's pretty much how I roll. And I depend. It doesn't mean I don't prepare. I have an idea. I have a game plan. I pray about this, but as scary as it is, I'm willing to let the Spirit redirect me, just like the GPS. You know, when it says rerouting, do you ever get that happen to you? You think you're on the right track, and you go through an intersection or go down a street, and the GPS says rerouting, and you realize, uh-oh, I kind of missed this. But that's the thing with the GPS. It'll send you a different way, you know, and that's the Lord will too. You know, he has a plan for us. He knows the way he wants us to live. He knows what we need to do to experience peace in life. And every now and then we go off the road. But he can work with that. And that's I think that's the important thing for all of us to keep in mind, that even if we mess up, got to trust that he can fix things. And he can. He can. It's not like we're going to do something so messed up that Jesus is going to say, you know what? I didn't think he was going to do this. This shocks me. I need to meet with the team to give him a new plan. No, he doesn't. He's not like that. He gets it. He sees everything as if it's in the present, because it is all in the present to him. So mess up all you want. I mean, don't do it on purpose, but as long as you're trying to do the right thing, Jesus can work with that. So don't be afraid to take a step if you think he's calling you to do something. He can fix it, even if it's technically the wrong thing. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. I appreciate you hanging out with me. I'm going to remind you that my weekly program, The Gary Zimek Show, is available now. So if you want to download a copy of that podcast, you can do that. I talk about the Sunday Mass reading. So this Sunday, it's the second Sunday of Easter, otherwise known as Divine Mercy Sunday. So if you're interested in that, download a copy of The Gary Zimek Show. You can get it at all your typical podcast sources, but the easiest thing to do is to go to my website, followingthetruth.com. You can also pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Good, which is my latest book, and sign up for my daily newsletter, my daily email reflection. Never know whether to call it a newsletter or reflection. It's not really a newsletter, but it's a daily email from me. Let not your heart be troubled. You can do that free of charge at followingthetruth.com. All right, I told you I'm going to read this gospel to you. And I especially direct this to you right now if you're feeling hopeless or even discouraged. You know, you might not be full-blown hopeless, but you might be a little down. You might be discouraged. You might be getting tired of praying for something and not seeing any results. We all get burned out. But I want to send this out to you today. This is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. It's just such a great message. And it contains a reminder for all of us. The fact that you're alive right now, and I could say that because I know that if you were not alive, you wouldn't be hearing me. So if you're hearing me, you're alive. The fact that you're alive means the story of your life is not finished. So whether you are living in some sort of perpetual, habitual sin, or you are just really discouraged or lonely or you're just losing hope, I want you to know something. Your life is not over yet. Your story's not over. Don't underestimate what Jesus can do. If you haven't done so, you need to invite him into your life right now. And that doesn't mean you're just going to church each week. That means you make that conscious decision to say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I surrender my life to you. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins, and I turn my life over to you, Jesus. When you do that, you give him permission to work in your life. And that's huge. That really is huge, and that makes an incredible difference. Now, I want you to listen to this gospel. This is from today's Daily Mass. And this is after Jesus had died and rose from the dead. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. So we got all of the disciples, the apostles really, hanging out together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we also will come with you. Now, it's kind of interesting to even if we just stopped right there. We're looking at guys who traveled with Jesus for 3 years, who traveled with him and watched him perform miracles, heal people, and they really must have been on quite an emotional high as they watched these amazing things. And then what happens? And then he's put to death on a cross. He dies on the cross. And they don't know what to do with themselves now. Now, even though prior to this, he had already appeared to them in the upper room after he rose from the dead, they don't know what, they seem directionless. They just don't know what to do. So Peter goes back to what he normally does. He's a fisherman. So he says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to work. Can you imagine that? After traveling with Jesus, all that excitement, then all of a sudden, they don't know what to do. He's going back to being a fisherman. And they're going to go with him. Now, you think that's bad, right? It gets worse. They went out and got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. That's pretty depressing. So now they're not even good at their job anymore, what they used to do. They were fishermen. Now they're messing that up, so they're catching no fish. They got to feel really hopeless now. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. Okay, here it comes. Now things are about to change. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Here we go again. Somebody else seeing the risen Lord and not recognizing him. This is a very familiar theme. We've been hearing it all week. And you know what? It's something you and me, we can relate to. Jesus said to them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered him, no. So he said to them, cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something. So they cast it. They listened to him, even though they didn't know it was him. And we're not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. Just like that, their luck, if you want to call it that, turned around. And they got more fish than they know what to do with. So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now they finally recognize him. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and he jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged a net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread, and he gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. So here we go again. Things look hopeless. And at one point in time, when we look at this, they decided to go fishing. All night, they caught nothing. If you stop the story right there, it took a snapshot of their lives at that point in time. It looked very hopeless. If you went back to Good Friday and looked at Jesus dying on a cross, things looked incredibly hopeless. But the deal was, in 3 days, Jesus would rise from the dead. We never know what's around the corner. And if you look at what these fishermen, these defeated fishermen, if you try to imagine what they're feeling, you're going to feel their hopelessness. You're going to feel their discouragement. You're going to feel their lack of direction. And in fact, you may be feeling it in your own life right now. But what happened was Jesus reached out to them. They're on the job. They weren't in church. They were going back to what they thought they were supposed to do. They thought they were supposed to go back to fishing. That's all they knew. They did it. They messed up. And look who met them there, Jesus. And in the same way, he's reaching out to you and to me every day, whether it's at the office, whether it's at home, wherever we are, in the midst of our daily duties, whatever they are, whatever, you know, they're going to be different for each of us. He meets us there and he waits like he's waiting on the shore. Now, if you notice, Peter jumped out of the boat, good old impulsive Peter, because that's what he does, and he swam to Jesus. The same offer applies to you and to me. He's here for us. So when we get discouraged, that's the invitation. And what we need to remember is that every miracle begins with a hopeless situation. Because if you weren't dealing with a hopeless situation, you don't have a miracle. Everyone. So why is it that when you are dealing with an unpleasant set of circumstances, when things look pretty bleak, why is it that you assume the worst? And I'm not saying you always do, but many of us have this tendency to say this is going to be a disaster. This is never going to work out. I'm doomed. Why can't we look at it in a positive way? In a positive way, and say, hey, this is an opportunity for the Lord to work. And you know, I am not telling you that he will always work things out to your liking, because that's not the way it works. He doesn't always take away the sickness. He doesn't always answer your prayer in exactly the way that you expect or the way that you want. But if you ask him, he will always intervene in some way into your situation so that you'll be able to have peace. And a lot of us don't like that. We like him to answer in the way we want. No, Lord. Now, you see, you don't understand. I got this illness. I want it to go away. I don't want to feel good even though I have the illness, right? Come on, let's be honest. We get like that. No, Lord, I don't want it to work like this. I want this job that I applied for. I don't want some other job. This is the one I want. I decided, even though I don't know all the opportunities that might be available to me. I don't even know about all the jobs, which might be better for me, but I know that this is what I want. So you need to give this to me. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy. We do that sometimes, don't we? But if we would just yield to Jesus and let him work, let him do his thing. I mean, let's face it, he rose from the dead. So I think he's probably bigger than any problem we can face, right? But if we just let him do his thing, he can bring us peace in the midst of the illness, in the midst of that situation that we just want to go away. He can do it. He's going to answer when the time's right. It's another thing, like, hurry up, Lord. I need this now. Don't you understand? No, what happens is we don't understand. He's going to answer in the best way possible at the right time. Just involve him in the situation, okay? When you start doing that, you're going to see changes. And you can't look at your life now and draw any kind of conclusion with certainty because your life's not over. Tomorrow's a new day. He knows the plans he has for you tomorrow. You don't know them. So look at this story. Think about this. And whatever you're going through, I promise you there is hope. Don't despair. With Jesus, all things are possible, including the ability for you to experience peace in the midst of whatever you're going through. I promise you that, okay? Hey, if you have questions, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. I look forward to joining you again on Monday, God willing. I hope you'll be able to be with me. If you need anything over the weekend, don't hesitate to email me. In the meantime, please pray for me, and I will pray for you. If you would be so kind as to consider making a donation to my ministry, I could definitely use it right about now. You do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. Really, if my work has helped you, please help me to keep going by making a donation, if you wouldn't mind. All right, I got to run. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Again, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me too. Remember, Jesus has got this. He knows what he's doing. Just trust him. Okay, God bless you. Talk to you next time.